Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Heumann of Vox Markets, of course, and we're here for our weekly edition. Apart from last week, I was on holiday, so I think you're away again, or one of us is away next week, I think, or the week after. But Vox Green Stocks, explain what this is about. If someone's just catching up right now, John, and just starting to look at the market, and they not hear this podcast, explain what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. So one way to find investment ideas is to basically use filters to identify shares that have certain financial characteristics. So, you know, there are thousands of companies listed on the London market, even more if you look globally. And, you know, the big problem many investors face is where on earth do you start?
Yeah.
So you use a stock screen, which is a sort of mechanical device, and you can do it with software packages or, you know, online sort of software as a service type things, just Stockopedia. I use SharePad. And basically, you can apply these filters to the entire market and start whittling it down to something that gives you some ideas that you can then start to look at with further research.
Yeah, exactly. It's really a starting point. Like I said, you can't. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I don't know how many stocks are on the UK alone, but it's close to 3,000 probably. And if you spend a day researching one stock a day, you take forever to make a decision. So it's one of the most efficient ways of thinking, what am I looking for? You know, and then you can go with, like you said, these set screens, or you can set up your own sort of screens if you're looking for growth or whatever, and cash and all that stuff. And so this one is called the Piotrowski score, is that right?
Yeah, so it's basically a value screen. So value, you know, shares that are basically lowly rated, or, you know, more lowly rated than others in the market. So we've been through a number of years where the big, you know, attraction was growth. Mm-hmm. And value as an investment strategy was sort of left by the wayside. But it's starting to come back into fashion post-COVID. People are looking for sort of bargain shares rather than sort of fast-growing shares. And Piotrowski, he's an accountancy professor, and he came up with a system that he basically was looking for as I say, value shares. And he did that by looking at shares that were priced below book value. So the share price is below the sort of value of the net assets when looked at on a per share basis. And he looked and he came with a scoring system to do that. So this is a value screen, basically.
Cool. Right. So, I mean, looking at the screen, there's, you've whittled down to 17. There's quite a few there I'm aware of. Like, for example, there's Gulf Marine Services, there's Brown Group, there's Zitronic, there's Quiz, Wentworth Resources. In fact, we covered Wentworth previously. I think there is... it wasn't Resources, something else. Calco. So we pick one out of these, each of us pick one out of these, and then we explain why we've gone with it. Me or you first, John, up to you.
You can go first, Justin.
Okay, well, the reason why I picked this one is because I hold some stock in it, so I'll put that up front first. But it's called Space and People, and I don't know if you noticed, if you ever catch a train and you go to the main train station like King's Cross or, you know, any big London stations, or even if you're in a shopping mall, you may see, you know, these pop-up shops that appear. They're not the actual shops, they're in the sort of shopping malls, the big spaces in between, and they often do quite a bit of business in there. But Space and People basically, you know, lease these areas off the train stations or whatever, or the shopping malls, and then they leases on to sort of holders, you know, brands, for example. In train stations, you've got, in fact, looking at their social media now, they've been very busy, actually, over the last season, and they had some promotions for football, for London Fever, that just come on now, King's Cross. There's also superheroes. So you get a lot of brands doing these, like, film promotions or product promotions at train stations, high footfall areas where people go past. So they're in charge of all that kind of stuff. So anything that's not nailed down, it's not an actual shop or anything like that. Generally, Space and People are the biggest operator, I think, pretty much in the UK, and I think they operate in Germany as well, and they've expanded. But they came across almost a near-death experience during COVID because, of course, everything shut down, you know, and retail and footfall is their lifeline. But they've bounced nicely since that, and just looking at it, it's a ridiculous valuation, really. I mean, they are a 1.9 million market cap, and I took a position after we did a trading update, and and it's different parts of the business, but it's brands and retailers. So their EV is about 2.3 because they have got a loan there, a COVID loan, pretty much. But the revenue in 2021, if you look at it, when you think of it, there's only 7 months worth of trading in 2021, and they did 4 million in revenue. They did EBITDA of 528k, so just over half a million in operating profit, 153k. And like I said, only 7 months of trading, you know, happened in that year. So I thought, right, they've got to do better than that, surely. So they did a trading update recently, and they said the first half, even though, you know, businesses take a while to get back to, you know, sort of spending on promotion, all that stuff, the first half there, they had 2.5 million to the 30th of June, and they say all divisions are recovering well and getting better, and of course, it'll take a while to recover. But they've said, on the basis there are no further pandemic-induced lockdowns, I don't think that's going to happen in the UK or Germany. They're in the board anticipate full-year revenue for the group will be not less than 5.5 million. When you take into account, you know, they are literally 1.9 million market cap. So that's 37% growth on last year, and that was 43% on the year previously. So looking on a valuation perspective, even if you value this on one-time sales, you know, it's 5.5 million, the share price should be around 280. They're currently 97 pence, so that's 190% upside. Now, even if you look at EBITDA and say apply modestly 7.5 times, you're looking at 190 a share. Again, that's 90% upside. Zeus, their broker, reiterated coverage because they stopped for a while because of COVID and pandemic, they didn't know where it was going. But they've said on a 10-year net free cash flow model, it suggests a valuation of 220, which is about 127% upside. And I understand there's worries over inflation, all that stuff, but just looking at the fact they guarantee, but it's minimum of 5.5 million, gives me some confidence in this outlook for this year. And like I said, there's inflation worries and all that, but I don't think, you know, footfall's going to die. People are still going into work, and I think that'll pick up. So, and like I said, it's. I think everything is priced in here. It was a near-death experience in COVID, and it hasn't recovered. I mean, it hasn't really recovered since then. But I think the business is improving. It just, you know, if you want evidence of that, go through their sort of social media channels, and they're very busy. Most places, you know, there's promotions going on. So I'm just thinking, even if it reverts to mean, you're talking about a decent upside here. You know, so that's where it's at. I'm just thinking, how low can they go? They're like sub 2 million market cap. They can be generating 5.5 million of revenue and profitable. You know, small profits, but they are profitable. So that's why I like it. I think it's more a recovery play, really, just on the fact that they're undervalued right now. And it's a very liquid stock. But I'm quite happy holding this for a year or two to see where it gets to. If it reverts the mean, I think there's decent upside, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, retail is facing a tough time ahead. Yeah. And, you know, there will be some high street weakness. But equally, you know, you'll find that a lot of retailers are trying to box a bit clever. So, you know, perhaps looking at unconventional ways of reaching customers. And actually, I've heard, you know, that some areas are thriving is actually, you know, shoppers sort of choose smaller shops over perhaps, you know, heading to those massive malls. Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of things happening in retail. I mean, you know, this what you said about Space and People, it really, you know, points to what this screen is trying to do, which is find stuff that's really, really cheap for whatever reason. But the F score, so that's actually the price to book value aspect of it. And this, you know, looking at the screen on SharePad, you know, it's trading at a price to NAV of 0.4. So, you know, its assets are worth a lot more than the share price is showing. But the F score And you know, what we're looking for is an F score of 8 or 9. It's a 1-9 ratio or scoring system rather. The F score is showing quite highly, and that's talking about that. It's looking for things. It's a 9-factor system, so it's looking for positive profit before tax, positive cash flows. You know, relatively lowly gearing. We know this company has net cash. So yeah, and rising gross margins, which you would expect as it's bouncing back.
Yeah, well, do you know what you said there? But very interesting. I think you're right. I mean, if there's a squeeze in retail, like you say, some retailers will try and say, "Oh, okay, how can we get our overheads down?" And do you know what? Last time I was in a big mall, really, actually, Six Nations in Cardiff. I went to watch the Wales Scotland game, and it's these, you know, little shops that are outside the shops were doing very well, and there's loads of them. And I thought, well, if you want to bring your overheads down, you try to test the market on a new product, or if you are, you know, say you're online, your online presence is good, but you want a bit of you know, sort of you know, mall sort of presence, and just up your brand thing, then that's a good way of testing the market, isn't it? Not spending, I've got big overheads, you can take out sort of, you know, on a month by month basis, pretty much one of these pop-up shops. And they also provide you, by the way, if you haven't got any of this, they can provide you with everything you need from the pop-up shop, everything, all that, the branding, all that. So yeah, I think it's like I said, people who don't want to sort of you know, go into the sort of full retail experience and the big overheads and the rates, whatever, then this is a way forward, I think, you know, for some people.
Yeah, and you've got retail landlords that are looking to get that space out there, and they're going to have to take a hit on that. It's going to be on the market fairly cheaply. I've seen these things, you know, quite high end actually. I mean, Zara, for example, up in Westfield Stratford, they use pop up spaces for their concept shops, you know, concept products. So it is quite interesting. It is that sort of differentiated retail experience that perhaps will do a bit better when the sort of humdrum run of the mill retail gets a bit squeezed.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just thinking, like I said, this thing, you know, they did a share consolidation. I don't know why they sort of did that, because there weren't too many shares in issue. It wasn't like, I think it was 19 million previously, but now they've got something like 1.9 million. Let's check that. Yeah, so I don't know why they did that, but they're just being dragged down as well with, you know, the sentiment of retail leisure. But yeah, so they do all kinds of, like I said, they do that kind of brand awareness, sort of promotions, do retail. So all these kind of, if you see these little sort of coffee shops, you know, and these quirky little trailers or caravans or that kind of thing, that's, you know, the space they're renting is pretty much off, you know, space and people. You see these food outlets and all that stuff. So but I just think, you know, looking forward, I think if they're guaranteeing 5.5 million, a minimum of that, then they've got to be pretty confident to say that, you know, because they'd be silly to say that if they weren't going to achieve that. So anyway, SAL is ticker. Cool. What's your pick, John?
Well, I'm going to go for Sanderson Design, which makes posh wallpaper, basically. Posh wallpaper, posh paint, posh fabric. It's funny you mentioned the rugby, because when I was sort of digging around on the company's website looking for the last results presentation, I was sort of slightly bemused to see Mario Itoje on the front cover of his presentation, which is not the person you'd expect to be associated with curtains, but he is their brand ambassador. Continue a long line of England rugby players in the curtain market. You know, Bill Beaumont has a massive curtain company, which
is mad, isn't it?
It is a very strange thing. But there you go. I digress on a very strange tangent about rugby. But Sanderson, I kind of like this business. You know, it sort of speaks to what we've just been talking about as well, that retail, you know, it's the middle that's most likely to be squeezed. It's warehouse or even the low end, you know. So, but in particular, the middle where households are feeling the pinch a little, you know, where they're going to have to rein in their spending as a result of sort of soaring energy bills, soaring petrol prices. But Sanderson is going for the higher end, you know.
Yeah.
This is super posh wallpaper. Not quite as posh as Carrie Johnson's, but
I was going to say, they've lost a customer there probably. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not cheap. You know, we're talking sort of William Morrissey type stuff, you know. Really, really quite posh. It was used in sort of the Queen's Gambit, was with all those sort of beautiful old sets are this kind of stuff. It's really aiming at a market which you would imagine is going to be slightly better insulated from the cost of living crisis. than other segments of the industry. And what I like about it, I mean, you know, it fits with those Petrovsky characteristics that I've already gone through. We've seen gross margins, you know, rise really sharply this year, but approaching 66%, which, you know, for essentially a manufacturer, it's really, really good. Operate margins, you know, a lot lower than that, sort of just approaching 9%, but on a recovery trajectory. Net cash on the balance sheet, you know, 15 million in net cash, which is a very, very comforting thing to see at a time like this. Recent trading update, when was that? Middle of July, you know, on track, which is good. Nice licensing business. And, you know, that's not growing quite as quickly, but then, you know, it's bouncing back from the pandemic, just as Space and People is. But the beautiful thing about licensing is that it's 100% gross margin. So that's really giving those margins a lift. Expanding very rapidly into the US, which is good at the moment, because obviously the dollar being strong, that's a great tailwind if you're trying to sell into that market.
Yeah,
especially if you're selling sort of British heritage products, you know, which essentially are luxury, you know. And, you know, it's British heritage, British manufacturing. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, it's never going to go out of fashion, really. And the forecasts, you know, are for continued growth. So, you know, turnovers expect to hit, you know, just shy of 140 by 2025. Pre-tax, you know, at about sort of 4.5 million in the same period from the current level. So that's up to about 14.5 million. So yeah, you know, things moving in the right direction, pays a nice dividend, which you would expect given that it's fairly cash generative and with all that cash on the balance sheet. Yeah, I mean, it's just a really nice looking business. And the shares have come off a fair old bit, you know, down by a quid since late 21 as the market sold off. But that's left them looking, you know, relatively cheap. Forecast PE 7.4. You know, it's sort of reflecting some fairly pedestrian EPS growth, but actually it's just solid.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the final results there. I'm sure there's a COVID bounce, but the growth there, it looks very good, isn't it? On a percentage basis, you know, double digit, you know, high, you know, a lot of them are sort of triple digit, you know, sort of profit before tax and all that stuff, and yeah, looking very strong. But but you're right. You know, there's always a market. You know, rich people get a bit poorer when the market goes down, but they're not poor. They still spend money. You know, it's like I may buy you know three Lamborghinis this year rather than five. You know, so yeah, it's that kind of market, isn't it? You know, there's always a market for the rich people, and suppose top end stuff like this, you know, never really suffers that much.
And it's funny, you know, so you know, just sort of anecdotally, I look around where I live, which is sort of, you know, it's holiday maker country, holiday lets, and, you know, sort of rich people with second homes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of building projects going on. There's a lot of people who are doing up their second homes. Can't get a builder for love nor money around here. And, you know, and they're exactly the target market for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And some of those are probably thinking, well, it's a pain going on holidays. I'll just you know, upgrade the holiday home. You know, so cool. Okay, yeah, it's come off. Look at the share price. I mean, literally, it peaked out at sort of 220 in September last year. And it's been sort of, you know, on a jagged sort of downhill slope since then, and now at 1.3. So, decent, cool. That's one for the watch list. Have you dipped your toe in the market yet, John, or are you still waiting?
Not yet. Seen a few things that I like the look of, but yeah, they're on the watch list. Not yet acting.
Okay, cool. Well, no, it's a play of time, isn't it? Let's be honest. I think I saw a survey yesterday. It struck me really about inflation. I don't know if I got this right, but there's something like I think it was about a retail survey or something saying that most people predict inflation to still be at 3.5% in about 2 years' time. You know. I think, yeah, what? I thought, what? It's going to hang around a while, isn't it? You know,
you would have thought so. I mean, the things we are seeing some signs that inflationary pressures are coming out of the system. So, you know, you're seeing the oil price, you know, retracing quite a lot. A lot of commodity price going backwards. Wheat was a big concern, but, you know, that's sort of back where it was before the Ukraine crisis began. But you know, these things take a, even if inflation sort of moderates to zero. you know, month on month. You know, it's going to take a long time for where we got to work its way out of the system. And you know, what we have seen is that the numbers that are still coming through are pretty horrid, and that the Fed is unlikely to change course. So, yeah, I mean, the markets have been looking a bit nicer since mid-June, but, you know, you've got to say that it's looking like a bear market rally rather than the bottom and a sustainable recovery.
Yeah, true. I mean, I've seen some liquidity in AIM stocks. Some, you know, for a while you haven't seen any AIM stocks really, you know, spike, and I've seen a few of the last week's spike. And I'm talking about, you know, 50-60% rises, and so it shows that maybe it's, you know, we've found the first bottom. But like I said, if you go back to the great financial crash, I think the S&P had rallies, and these were fake rallies of 18% and 24%, and that was not the bottom. The bottom, and it fell a bit further, but that's close to the bottom, though. So I think the big fall has happened, but we may need to retest another low yet. Like I said, take your time.
But the thing is, Justin, I'm you know, I'm not in a rush. So you know, as you say, I mean, I'm looking at Sanderson, which I do like the look of. You know, with the shares at a quid, even if it sort of starts to move upwards again, I'm way below where it peaked at. So, you know, I've just got that time to wait and really see whether the current, you know, market moves we're seeing actually become established. And
Well, do you know what I mean? If you know, it's hard to. I mean, it's impossible to find the bottom. I know where the bottom is, but like I said, if you keep looking at this back at the stats, and if you look at the S&P, because it's, you know, one of the biggest markets, everything kind of follows that kind of thing. I mean, you know, average bear markets last. I mean, if without recession, 12 months; with recession, 16 months, and it's only about 7 months in. So this would be a very short recession. And when you consider we're now having inflation at, you know, 40-year highs, then it doesn't seem to me like it's going to be a short one for some reason, because we are at historical highs on inflation. So it seems to me it should at least play out to an average recession. Average bear market length. I mean, we're looking at another 5 months. Trying to find a bottom at least. So there's no rush, is there? Just looking at average stats. I mean, and those stats go back as far as 1929. So why would this? You know, the bear market be any shorter than others when it's quite a serious inflation problem we have, you know?
Well, indeed. But, you know, markets can do funny things.
And, yeah, exactly. They did do funny things. When the Fed tend to pump money in, they do funny things. But at the moment, we've got the opposite thing happening, haven't we? So I'm thinking it's not going to be short unless the Fed, you know, really, do a U-turn and start buying bonds again and all that stuff, start pumping, printing money. But I don't, I mean, what's your thought? I mean, I can see them rolling back on interest rates if employment starts to take a hit, or economic growth slows down massively. But I mean, would they start doing QE again? I don't know if I can see that. It'd be ridiculous, really, isn't it? Really, pumping money in, pulling back out, and then pumping back in. They'd be like saying, "Do you know what you're doing at all?" As the Fed, it's like, it's do you have any foresight or anything? Because it does seem like they're just reacting to everything going on or the fears of the market, you know.
Well, they are now. I mean, they've given up on forward guidance because they completely failed, as did the ECB. But they are reacting, you know, and that's pretty much what they've said. We are just going to react to the data that we see in front of us. But then you look at that data and, you know, the fact everyone keeps pointing to is that you've just mentioned is employment. Which is, you know, high and which is very high, and, you know, vacancy rates are very high too, and this is why the Fed is saying, well, it's not, or certain people in the US are suggesting that this is not a recession because employment is high.
Yeah,
and you know, there is truth to that, but then you look at other indicators. You know, we're seeing some weakness in the US housing market and other quite hot housing markets around the world. We're seeing problems in China, particularly with the property market there. You know, Europe is looking messy. Retail sales in I think it was Germany the other day were horrendous. So you know, there are enough signs that all is not well to encourage, I would suggest, people to be cautious. And I would say cautious both ways. Don't get aggressively short and don't be aggressively long either.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Doing nothing is one of the hardest things of all, you know, and just sitting there doing nothing is quite hard because we are emotional beings. We tend to react to there's a survey done by Fidelity, you know, one of the big sort of investment fund managers, and they noted that some of the most successful successful investors were people who were dead and hadn't, and yeah, and they said the way outperformed active investors, and these people are people who died and no one informed them, or they didn't even know they had an account with Fidelity, and they outperformed the majority of other people because they, you know, they're literally holding, you know, they buy in, hold for like 10, 20 years, and then they die, and it's the market which will improve, and yet most people were selling at the, you know, so buying at the top, selling at the bottom in fear and greed, and yeah, so doing nothing often pays off, you know, but it's hard. It's hard to do. Marvelous stuff. Cheers, John. And we'll publish the list there on the blog there at Vox Markets. You can see the entire list. And by all means, if you want to suggest a screen, let us know and we'll run that. And thanks, John. Speak next week.
Not next week, week after.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.